Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Broadcasting live from somewhere in the desert, posting up truth like a stamp in the corner of a letter. It's Leander Grace with Out Loud. Amid lies we seek truth. Amid truth we awaken. And once awakened, we speak truth everywhere. Now we're opening night and powering to reveal what's been hidden in plain sight. It's time for Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh, good evening, everybody, la-di-da-di, and everybody else out there. I want to say hearty hello to all you folks. Great big shout out to all of you lovely patriots, some MAGA warriors, digital soldiers. Maybe there's some Anons of the 17 listening in. And if you're, whether you're in plain sight or hidden away for safekeeping, of course, diamonds are this girl's best friend. Guys, I want to welcome you here back to Blog Talk Radio, the NatStream Network. It is Monday, June 6th, 2022. It's been a while, been a few days. And it's another MAGA Monday. We're starting our third season. We had a long hiatus. We'll explain that when we get further in the program. But we are continue out our broadcast live from somewhere here in the desert. Our goal today, as it is every day, is to help relieve suffering through empowerment by shining our light on and getting to the holistic truth. Guys, I want to tell you, there's a lot going on, isn't it? So we're going to be holding the line. We're going to be keeping the faith. We're going to be trusting the plan and telling the truth as the Great Awakening continues to accelerate across the face of the earth. It's a very exciting time to be alive and aware and awake and about the business of this one thing. Guys, I want to tell you, there's a lot going on. So we're not going to debate. We're not going to, you know, go back and forth. We're going to talk about some review stuff. Usually we have a lot to debate, but tonight we have some review stuff, and I want to remember, you know, welcome you guys back here to Blog Talk Radio for a little bit while. We were over on Podbean. That's the way it was, Podbean. And as soon as we started talking about certain subjects, you know, my episodes and the episodes, both of them, you know, whether you say it right or say it wrong, it's the same thing. They just started disappearing, right? And I'm not sure why. Maybe they thought I wasn't, you know, prepared or something. Maybe they didn't agree with what I said. We'll take a look at it. So remember, too, as you listen to this broadcast or the podcast, because pod people, we love you, too. Question everything. We are not part of the media feeding. I do not expect you to take me at my word. I'm not going to try to convince you. I'm just going to spread some light. How about that for tonight for some banter? A little bit of intro. There's a lot going on in the world stage. We've got some topics I want to hit on tonight. And those specifically are going to be the history and our sacrifice. And, of course, duty, honor, and country. Now, guys, I want to, before we get too far along into the broadcast, I just want to let you know I was not expecting to be on air tonight. Now, I knew I was going to be getting on air soon. I did not know that I was going to be getting on air tonight. So I want to thank you for those little words and little things of encouragement, little taps on the shoulder and whatnot, to get me on the air, and here we are. So hopefully we got it all set up the way we're supposed to, and everything's going to go forward the way it needs to. Now, a little bit about this program here on NatStream Network. First of all, let me tell you, for those of you listening the first time or those of you who are coming back, and I want to go ahead and review what a NatStream is. A NatStream is a watcher. Somebody who watches, not the watchers like the yucky people, right? The yucky guys, not the yucky watchers, but we're the ones who watchmen or watch people or watchmen on the wall. And so that's what the Natsarim are. And it was in Antioch that the Natsarim were, the Talmudim, who are apostles and mimickers of Christ, were first called the Natsarim. those who are watching for the return, watching for things coming, watching for the fulfillment of, and we can fill in the blank. So that is what a Nat 3M is, and what the goal of this network is to bring others who are watching, others seen, and others who know how to tell the truth about things also into this broadcast, whether it's talking on air and having a conversation about the movies that we see in front of us today, or whether it's, we'll just see how that goes. So we just want to bring everybody into the conversation. From time to time, I get a tickle in my throat. I'll let you know because it feels like it's coming up now. And if that's true, we're going to go to unexpected little piece of music. Hopefully we won't. Let me mute my mic just a second, guys. The air got a little dry in here, and that's the way that goes from time to time. We're going to get some cooling off going on. We're out in the desert. We meant that when we said out in the high mountain desert, and from time to time, things get dry in that. Waiting for my throat to come back online, guys. All right, so what do we see going on the world stage? We're going to take a look at that. But before we do, we're also going to take a look back. And we're going to maybe take a little bit of a peek forward. Not that we can see that, but we're going to take a little peek forward. Now, when I first made out the bullets, I had them made it out in dates, so kind of like a timeline. And then that didn't seem to look right because I was hitting time frames that, you know, weren't necessarily relevant. So I just went ahead with the bullets and we're saying history. So let's take a look about that. You know, the history of this nation, and that's what we're talking about, the history of this particular nation, the United States of America. The history of this nation was, as we're told in the school, we came over here, everybody wanted to be free. We moved in and had some war with some Indians because the bankers came in and decided they wanted to take stuff over. Am I getting close? All right, so we came in with a feather, and it seems as though a hammer followed. Or at least a stick, followed behind the good people who came in with feathers. And I'm just talking about those who were soft-hearted and those had a soft outlook on life, didn't want to hurt nobody, didn't want to take advantage of nothing, just moved in, right? And then some with sticks came and just said, well, we're bigger and we want to make these rules and we're going to pay these people to do things for us so that we can have these rules and have everybody do it. Next thing you know, we've got white people or the new settlers fighting the old settlers, the aboriginals, the ones that were here when we got here. We'll talk about that in depth on another program, perhaps. So then we fast forward. And everything seems to be rosy. I mean, I don't mean to diminish any of the life lost or any of the battles or any of those things. But stay with me as we get this timeline here. So fast forward now, and all of a sudden, you know, everything's cool. Everything's copacetic, seemingly. People are having a place to live, you know, a little house on the prairie kind of thing going on, maybe, for those who wanted to live out on the prairie. But what was it looking like when people were living out on the prairie? What do we call cities look like? Need to discuss that as we go forward. So this is what we're doing. We're just kind of prefacing the things that we'll be speaking about on the broadcast and going forward. But in order for us to gain the wisdom that we want today, we're going to have to look back and say, here I was wrong, here what was right, this is what we could have done better. Now it doesn't matter whether we're taking a history lesson, whether we're taking our own personal history lesson, or whether it's a new task, right, that we've taken on for ourselves. Let me go ahead and get a warm drink, see if that helps my throat. Got my world famous chamomile tea. I'm not famous, chamomile tea is going on here. And the reason is when I get on air, there's a little bit of adrenaline kicking in. And sometimes I put out 6 hours of material in 20 minutes and I don't want to blow y'all's hair back, let me tell you. So I'm going to relax a little bit and get this tea going on. So seemingly as we're presented the history, there's this lull of conflict for just a little while, and then there's another lull of conflict, and the conflict was this. There were people in this continent after we became a nation that still had habits. We, you know, regional areas and communities, we still had habits. May not have been good. They were very colonial, so to speak. We inherited these habits, and one of them was slavery. It became a custom. It became a habit. And as any habit that we have, if we really, really want to keep it, we will justify all kinds of stuff and all kinds of reasons for why we're entitled to do that, whether it's a good habit or a bad habit. And there were a lot of excuses made by some folks to keep individuals enslaved. Now, I'm going to tell you, it wasn't just black people enslaved. There were white people that were slaves. They were being sold, were sold in slaves. You know, I mean, there was for a while, there was a never-ending cargo ship of readily available souls being delivered into captivity to be used at the pleasure of those who had a crop of something. It was the slave ships. And then we stood up, we, meaning the Republican Party, the Americans stood up. They formed a part of the Republican Party. We're a republic. And they formed the party and they said, no, no, no. And there happened to be by five black men, free. They knew it. And they formed the Republican Party so that they could enact legislation to free the slaves. Sounds like a plan to me. People who were strong enough to see the light, know, educated enough, have the strength, the intestinal fortitude enough to stand up. They went forward, and lo and behold, what do we got? We got the Free of the Slaves Proclamation, Declaration, Proclamation of Emancipation. But a lot of blood was shed over that fight. A lot of lives, a lot of souls were taken off the face of the earth during that time because people were vehemently, vehemently attached to the idea of gain through enslavement. Gain through enslavement, that's what it was. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It's gain through enslavement. That's part of our history. And it doesn't matter whether you're from the North or whether you're from the South. And when you're going to separate yourself from it, we are Americans. We are one nation under God as part of our history. We take the lineage with us. We have to remember to keep the stories alive. It's our collective history. As a nation, we faltered. That happened here. That happened. And we'll talk about slavery modern day a little bit later on in the broadcast. So the big Civil War was fought. Now, we've got images from the Civil War that looks like there was a whole lot more architectural structures and buildings going on that were much more modern than what perhaps we've been led to believe. But, of course, that'll be for another broadcast as well. So evidently, by the 1900s, everybody was happy-go-lucky and merry and gay, and they were walking in the streets and going through the expos and all of that stuff. And things were good, right? We got all of the partying going on, and then what happened? Somebody got mad at somebody else, and they started a war, and they said, hey, America, come into the war. Well, no, we don't want to be a war. We don't want to be a war. Well, then somebody did something. Nothing happens by coincidence. Things don't just happen. Somebody made something happen, and all of a sudden the United States is being pulled into the World War with a great war. We couldn't stay out of it. We had to spend all of our money and go into debt. Why did we have to? Not sure why. There's some ins and the outs. We can pick that apart on another broadcast. We're just doing the history. So we get into World War One, the Great War, supposed to be into all the wars, and then the good guys, the theory is the good guys won, the bad guys lost. We all come back, yada, yada, yada. We're all happy and gay once more, dancing in the streets, singing in the rain. And then what happens? Somebody decided that they were going to bomb somebody else, and all of a sudden they got it at our doorstep saying, hey, now you do have to fight. And we're like, what? We didn't want to fight in that one either. But we did. Big war. And the anniversary of the storming of the beach of Normandy is, I believe, today. D-Day. This is the day when our young children, our young men, and our middle-aged men, and some of the older men, our gold and our treasure, our precious blood, stormed that beach to free a continent from tyranny. And I believe one of the arguments, one of the reasons, one of the line of reasonings was that, you know, if we can stop it over there, we don't have to stop it over here. And the war was ended, and the Allies won, and we went on our merry way. That's what's taught in the history books. That's what we're told to believe. And for the sake of the broadcast, we're going to follow that timeline for now. And then when the history comes up, we're sitting here, and now I want to ask my audience, those of you listening live or podcast, pod people, we love you too, at what point in our nation's history since World War I did we have a complete generation without a war? A whole generation where nobody was trying to blow each other up. And what is it that would make us go to war anyway? There isn't any veteran that I know or any soldier that I knew or any neighbor or any other person that wants to go to war, especially if they think they have to put their blood in it. But we did. We went to war and we fought. We freed France. We overcame the Nazis. We freed the concentration camps. All of the wonderful things that happened in the stories. But there was a Borg in the house. And I'm a real big Star Trek fan. Those of you who know me know that. And if you want to tap me on the shoulder, you can use that too. So in Star Trek First Contact, those of you who don't know, is there was a time warp and they went back in time. The Borg did. They were going to get all blowed up. And they made a last-minute quick escape out the hatch and decided to just become fruitful and multiply in a different timeline. Well, I don't know about no timeline of time jump, and I have a little bit of clue about it, but nothing to talk about on this broadcast. What if that history did not play out the way we were told? What if, on World War II, the Borg escaped? What if the history that we're being told is not the complete history that there is to tell? And what if the leaders of all of that horrendous action that occurred back then have a legacy even here today where they continue some of their diabolical thinking, their diabolical plans and carrying it out? And you say, Leander Grace, what are you saying? I'm saying watch the movies. This is MAGA movie night. This is where we watch for things. This is where we take a look at the things that are in front of us, the movie that's playing out, whether it's live, whether it's real, whether it's broadcast or podcast, what's playing out in front of us. And what I see playing out in front of us is the revealing of all of this. You know, those of us who have been on social media and have been out, I've been out for a little while. I'll explain that here when we get on the other side of the break. But as we watch these things unfold, and then I go out into the real world out and talk to my neighbors. They have no idea what's going on. And there's a lot of fear. And there's a lot of fear in the camp. And, you know, I heard some last night, just not fear so much as just tiredness. What happens? Can you imagine in World War II being in the bunkers there, being surrounded, almost having enough food in your backpack? You know, sea rats and that, cold, not at home, can't crawl up the shelves going over. That's war. Now, I've never been to war. I've never had to shoot in war. I've never had to be on a battlefield where there's live fire, except in training. Well, you know, not live fire training. I'm not that badass. So, but... You know, in your training, you're put through cold, you're put through the dark, you're put through exhaustion, you're put through all of that. And I know a lot of digital soldiers are out there and they can hear my voice. They're tired and they're cold and they're lonely and aside. And all of the information that's coming in is conflicting and there's so much of it. And it's just enough to undermine your confidence just when you started to get your confidence. And I'm telling you, that's war. And that's the fog of war. That's the confusion. Pardon me while I clear my throat here. That's the fog of war that confuses soldiers on the ground, soldiers in the air. And so for those who are doubting whether to trust the plan, it's unfolding. It's unfolding. But you have to know where to look. You have to know how to see it. It looks grim out there. I don't watch a lot of news. I watch mainly some of the clippets of this and that you guys send me. I try to keep my news information down because it affects me, and I can't do my job when I'm affected by the news. So war, can you imagine? You're going out with your platoon and maybe one or two, or if you're lucky, three come back. Honor those who are left behind. Honor those who were fallen in battle. The ones who come back, the ones who are still wearing the uniform, the wrinkled ones, the old guys, the ones who braved it, the ones who went into the deep, the ones who went into the dark and went into the gunfire. Whether it's World War I or World War II, in their hearts and in their guts, the reason they were doing it was for us, to ensure our freedom in this land. And we can talk the politics of every war all day long and twice on Sunday, and that doesn't even necessarily, that doesn't have a matter of a thing when we're talking about honoring those who fell. Families are left without loved ones. And there's no way to right that. There's no way to undo that. That is the cost of our treasure. So from there we had Korea, then we had we had Vietnam, and that's what, you know, I was not alive during Korea, but I was around for the Vietnam. And I was not old enough to understand what was going on, but later when I had an understanding, I remembered what I had seen, the newsreels in the 70s. So I asked my mother, I said, is that real? Because we went to the movies a lot. And I said, is that real? She said, yeah, honey, that's real. And I said, well, you know, I asked why. And she gave me the adult answer of, well, we never know why. Not really. That's what she said, my mother said to me. And that stuck with me because we never do know why, really. And why is that, that we seem to never really know why? What is it about our history that the whole story may not have been told? What is it that the history books have been leaving out? That's what we want to talk about on the program, as well as some of the things that are playing out on the world stage. We've got these false flag shootings going off, breaking people's hearts, blowing their minds. Blowing people's minds with it. You know, and the questions are, why did it take so long? Why this? Why that? Yeah. So we have this history of war. We have this history of the United States of being suckered into fighting battles that may or may not be for our best interest, but the ones who go to war have our best interests at heart, and that's where that counts. So for all of those who are left, and for all of those who survived, and for all of those who are the survivors of the Normandy invasion, you know, I salute you, and I want to thank you for being a living memorial to all of those heroes that didn't make it back, and that you continue to tell the stories to our youngers, to the kids, in the adult, you know, in the kid-appropriate manner. But lay the history down. It may be hard to talk about, but give us our history, please. All of you veterans of the old time. Because there's a lot that's missing. And hopefully, on this broadcast, we'll be able to connect some of the dots and see if we can't make some sense out of the picture that we see unfolding in front of us, maybe make some sense of the pictures that we see unfolding behind the scenes, if we're aware of them, and just make sense of what's going on. Because I want to tell you guys, the Great Awakening is just raging right now. What do I mean by that? Well, I got a few minutes. Well, no, actually, we're going to go to break here, and then we're going to talk about what that is on the other side of the break. I think, let me see if we can't find, there we go. I'm going to play a little song right here. We did have a caller on the line earlier, and it'll be in just about another half an hour. We'll open up the phone lines pretty soon. So I am your host, Leander Grace. We're broadcasting live from the high mountain desert. We're going to go into this break. A little bit of definite patriot to our nation, America the Beautiful. We'll be back.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grace, for
Outstanding. That gives us just a little bit of a break. I want to welcome you guys back here to the Nathrium Network. I am your host, Leander Grace. It's time for Leander Grace Out Loud, because our silence will not protect us. So welcome back. If you guys want to know, if you guys want to come on into the chat room is open. It's on the Blog Talk Radio interface if you want to come in on that. And we can talk back and forth. You can throw your ideas back and forth on that. And then in a little while, we'll open up the phone lines and take some calls. I put a shout out to some of my friends down under. Don't know if they're going to see the tag in time. It's a different time zone and a different day for them. So we'll see how that goes going forward. And we're hoping to make sure the mic's unmuted and all of the good things, because, you know, that's every once in a while I'll hit the wrong button. All right, so what were we going to talk about on the other side of the break? I said what we're going to talk about on the return of the break, we're going to talk about the Great Awakening. Now, usually we talk about this in depth, some of those topics on Wednesday nights. We'll see how this goes, but we're just getting back into the thick of things. Guys, I want to tell you, I had to take some time off. I had some health issues come up that got a little bit distressing, and so we had to take care of those, and then I had some recovery time with that, and some things that were going on, so it kept me off air, and it kept me offline, basically, for, golly, just almost 6 months, and it felt like forever. I wanted to get back online, but I just wasn't prepared. I wasn't ready. I had to do some recuperative stuff for myself before I move forward. And so that's what was going on with that. And I want to tell you, I'm just really grateful to be a part of such a great group of patriots going forward as we take as we peel the blinders off and show the public what's really going on behind the curtain. Okay, so what is it about this Great Awakening? And as you guys can see on the top of the banner, you know, it's I'm an apostolic teacher, instructor, and coach, and that has to do with the scriptures, lots of scriptures. And then also intuitive. I think those of you who know me know by now that's just the way it's been for a very long time. And then a compassionate awakening coach. Now, this is what I do, you know, what I started doing in 2010 when we started talking about the Great Awakening, the Great Spiritual Awakening. And I want to tell you guys, people's heads are going to start popping pretty soon, because a lot of truth is going to be coming out, going to be revealed all at once. all at once. And, you know, for those who've been doing the working and doing the digging for a bit long period of time, you know, there's a patience issue too, but, you know, the gradual learning over a period of time is a lot different than a very broad, quick, you know, here comes the light, oh, wow, turn it off, right? I mean, that's just kind of the way we are, whether it's with our eyes and visual light, or whether it is with our hearts and our souls and the spiritual light. Because once the spiritual light starts shining, or any type of light, but the spiritual light starts shining on a dark place, you see what's wrong. And whether we're seeing it on the world stage, we're shining light and showing you where some of the doo-doo is, or whether it's in our own personal walk, in our own personal life. Once the light is shine, it's only there. It's not to tell you you're bad. It's to tell you you got some bad shit to clean up. And that's the way it was for me. And I got to do that when I was recuperating. I tell you what, it was a double barrel shotgun with that stuff. Had some upper respiratory thing kind of knocked me down a little bit, but recovered in a few days at home, no big deal. So there you have that. So that's why I was off air. Now, the reason I'm back is because, other than the fact I was, you know, God said it's time to get back, it's because there's a lot of pain out there. During the awakening, there's a lot of, you know, I found out things about some of my favorites that I wasn't real happy about just a couple of days ago, and I started crying. We're going to start finding out that the people that we trusted, the people that we darn near, that we admired, and may I say had a, you know, fanatic kind of a hero worship love, we're going to see it get even worse. A lot of folks are going to be going down for some of the things that have been going on. You know, the trafficking down at the border, the trafficking across the seas, the selling of people and children. You know, they're covering the mainstream media, and the whole media complex out there tries to cover it up with a different type of a movie, tries to get you to take a look at a different screen. Look over here. Don't overlook over here. And that is the nature of war. That's part of the fog of war. So the question becomes, if there are genuine, you know, a lot of people that are giving genuine evidence of what's going on, and we have write-up after write-up and report after report and newspaper clipping after newspaper clipping, but it doesn't make it on the mainstream media. There were 70 children, 70 children that were rescued from sex trafficking in a nest, in a den in West Texas. 70 children were rescued, and not one bit of that good news made it into the mainstream media or the cable network news. Not none of it. But we're searching the headlines left and right, trying to show you guys that there's stuff going on behind the scenes. And the only thing that I'm seeing is that there's nothing going on. There is. But the mainstream media is not reporting these things to the public. They're derelict in their duty. Completely derelict in their duty. Their job is to inform the public. Their job is to engage us in those types of conversations that rattle us just enough so that we wake up and we see that change might be, our voices are needed on this decision. That's the way, what the news is about. I remember investigative journalism when I was a younger, and they would have all kinds of investigation, investigate this type of crime, investigate that type of crime. But what I didn't realize at the time is sometimes they were presenting something as a crime that wasn't, and they were using those investigative journalism tactics to throw shade on one thing and enrich a market in another area. Mockingbird Media. So when did all that start? And now here we are. We're screaming at the top of our lungs, save the children. We're saving at the top of our lungs. There are people, you know, where did the 80,000 children go? Where did the 8 million children go? Where do these millions of children go when they disappear and end up on a milk carton, end up on a fill in the blank? What if the milk carton campaign in the 80s and some in the 90s, rather, what if it was advertisement? And what if these couches and these cabinets on some of these great big retail sites that the pillowcase for $30,000? Back when there was the belief of a toilet paper shortage, and so everybody freaked out and created the toilet paper shortage through the psychological dirging of the media. Where does this information come from? Where does the information go? And why is it that when we are, and I'm not alone in this, we are yelling at the top of our lungs, you know, to look at this, look at this. I go out into the real world, pardon me, the real world, and I say, hey, did you know? And they're like, oh, no, uh-uh. When did that happen? Really? No, uh-uh. Really? Because the mainstream media, the regular outlets, are not reporting the news. They'll report the dog and pony show 24/7 of this, the Depp and Heard issues, right? Does nothing more to me than just show us how sick these people actually are. Thank you. It's a good revelation. But it had nothing to do with the Sussman trial, which is something that everybody needs to know. So we're watching the wrong, they're showing us the wrong movie. They're showing us the movie and trying to cover up the news. We've got Project Veritas out there uncovering truth left and right, getting people on camera, on mic, all of the above, saying what's really going on. And then when the truth is reported, you know, running away. So, you know, Project Veritas, Project Truth, they're right on it. The media's like, la, 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 la. We can't hear you. We can't hear you. All we can hear is what we're handed. And so you the people, the folks who are still asleep, they're not being told the truth. Now, albeit everybody has a personal responsibility that when something seems fishy, you go look for the truth. But as we all know, that from time to time, we all stumble onto the truth and then quickly pick ourselves up as if and brush ourselves off as if nothing ever happened. That's not original. I think that was, what's his name? Winston Churchill. There you go. So I think that was Winston Churchill that said that, right? We can stumble across the truth from time to time, but most of us just pick ourselves up, brush ourselves off as if nothing ever happened, because sometimes the truth is painful to look at. It disturbs us to think about it. Offsets our thinking of happy-go-lucky and gay. And I mean that in the truest sense of the word. You know, all bright and cheery, and then we find out that 70 children were rescued from child sex trafficking, but we're not finding out anything about the ones that disappeared. That's what the news is not telling you. And I've been sharing, you know, scroll after scroll, page after page of this group of child sex predators were arrested. This group of child sex predators have been arrested. This group of child sex, these many people have been freed. This many people have been let go. This much good's going on. This many arrests are happening. And it is beep on the news. Just like that. So the frustration comes from trying to believe that the news, in my part, when I start to believe that the news is going to tell me what I need to know, except from perhaps One American News and Right Side Broadcasting, then I'm deluding myself. Because if they cannot yet say that the 2020 presidential election was stolen like a cheap trick, then they have nothing to report. Because that is the news. They want to have this great big glittery effect of the trial on January 6th. But they won't show you that they have locked Americans up, political prisoners. They've locked them up in the D.C. jail, and they're treated worse than any inmate that I've seen. If the conditions that's been reported are correct, man, that's not allowed in the Federal Bureau of Prisons. Now, I happen to have worked in that facility, in those facilities, had that job. That's not the way you treat people. They're to be punished. Being there is the punishment, period. That's it. There's nothing more to do to the person. and working for the Federal Bureau of Prisons, we are responsible for the health and safety of first the community, then the community, and the facility, and the officers, and the inmates, in that order, if I remember correctly. So I become at a loss for words when I look at the conditions of the DC jail, and I don't know how people aren't going to jail, aren't going to prison, aren't being arrested for maltreatment of prisoners. I mean, these are American citizens. They have complete rights. They're citizens. They have every amendment, every 10th, all of it, everything covers them. And every right that they've got is being violated. They're not being treated the same as BLM and Antifa. BLM and Antifa are going out and burning the cities to the ground. And everybody says, nothing to watch here. It's just mostly peaceful explosions going off in the background. No, no, no. Nothing to see. And then they flash forward over to a bunch of people changing from black attire of Antifa into some kind of a red, white, and blue thing and acting like hooligans over on the Capitol and say, see, we got the Patriots. No, you don't. You got your own people acting like hooligans. And they know the truth, the media. Sure they do. They're not stupid. They know how to ask questions. They know how to investigate. Unless they are stupid and they don't know how to investigate. But they're not telling you the truth. Until they start telling you, well, they're starting to now repeat, you know, starting to report that we've got, Frank Pelosi being arrested for DUI, and then Paul being caught with some naughty pictures. Oh, was I not supposed to say that yet? Did the papers not report it yet? They won't. They'll put it on page 42 next to the one ads for silicone implants or some stuff like that. They're not going to tell the public the truth. Why is that? It could be, and I don't know, it could be that they've been complicit covering up the crimes of some of the higher-ups, the higher paid, the ones who have decided that they have a higher place in society than the rest of us, which is not at all the way the Constitution is written. So that's what we're seeing. That's the movie that we're seeing. And we're trying very, very hard to get the information out. And I'm wondering, why is it so hard to get the information out? I mean, we know that Twitter, there was shadow banning and there was algorithm adjustments and all this other stuff. And there may or may not be some of the same stuff over on Gab. I've been absent for a little while. I'm getting back active on there now. But why is it, like on my pod being broadcast, when I started talking about all of this SARS-CoV, the China virus, and how to take care of ourselves, and where it might have come from, and the way viruses act, really, that episode went the wayside. Now, I know I recorded it, and I watched the little meters going up that everything was working the way it was supposed to. And the next time I did, I went ahead and recorded in the background, and I was able to save that episode. I'll have to be playing some of the historical stuff for now. But I was disconnected, virtually just no more Podbean. I wasn't kicked off a band, but if they're going to take my episodes away, there's no sense in me sharing my space with them. That's the way I look at it. So here we go. Let's go ahead and go back into a little bit of history. And that's where we're at now. We're going to go back and forth a little bit on this one. A little bit, sort of. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Marshall Plan, because I think some of the plans that we put forth that circa, you know, post-World War II are some of the plans that might have just kind of might have given us a little bit of trouble. For instance, we've got, and I've talked about this on Pod, being on another broadcast, but I want to go ahead and bring it over here. You know, we've got the we got the Marshall Plan that was set into place after World War II. And the Marshall Plan, the whole purpose of that was to not allow the communists to rebuild in some of the poor countries. So the thinking is that if all of these people are poor post World War II, because the cities got blown up, that can make you poor. You know, but their cities got blown up, so they had to rebuild and all that. Well, the Americans or some of the folks pushed, you know, pushed some of the buttons and made a decision that it would be smarter for us to spend our money, our American tax money, as foreign aid to any nation that was anti-communism, that was fighting communists. That's kind of the long and short of it. Put out a lot of money over into Eastern Europe and all that. I'm not saying it was a bad thing. I'm not saying anything about it other than that's what we did. But did we check out where the money was going and we check out who was sending it? I don't know if we did or not. So we sent all the money over there to make sure that Europe was very strong and we had a NATO alliance and the Borg moved in and here we are. And we were told by another president to be very careful of some of the things that are coming on up and some of the things that are around us and some of the things that might get bigger than what we want them to be. And, you know, that was Mr. Eisenhower, President Eisenhower. And I'm looking for his audio now. And I may not have uploaded it. I'll tell you what, guys, I came in here in the seat of my pants just right on time. I'd been off the boat for a little bit, so there we have that. Now I'm not finding it right off the bat. I was hoping to find a lot of other cool stuff. So what happens when we get to the part where we find out that we have bad guys among us found it? We have bad guys among us. What do we do? You know, we've got it pretty good in this nation, all things considering. We are designed to be, we are the freest nation, even though some of our freedoms seem to be snatched away. It's a soft snatch, so we don't necessarily, you know, it's been incremental, so nobody's really noticed it like a boiling frog. But let's hear what it is that, let's hear what Mr. Eisenhower, President Eisenhower, had to say before he left office. I think this is the right one that we've got there, and I want to go ahead and welcome Coates into the chat room there. So let's listen to what President Eisenhower had to say. It's just a little bitty one here.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. We now stand 10 years past the midpoint of a century that has witnessed four major wars among great nations. Until the latest of our world conflicts, the United States had no armaments industry. American makers of plowshares could, with time and as required, make swords as well. But we can no longer risk emergency improvisation of national defense. We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions. Added to this, 3.5 million men and women are directly engaged in the defense establishment. Now, this conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development, yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together.
So that security and liberty may prosper together. Security and liberty may prosper together. He, in his last day, as he comes out, beware the military-industrial complex. What is that? I mean, he went through all of that. But now we have communications, too. Now we have communication. We've got ability to communicate across the face of the earth like we've never been able to before. I can call anybody up on the planet at any given day, at any given time. They may not appreciate it, but I can do it. I have that. That's that connectivity that we have. I want to tell somebody how I'm doing, and it's like, well, I need to just find them online. Hey, da 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 da. Boom. Hey, good. You know, we talk back and forth. Boom. Instant communication. Don't even have to meet the person. So we're connected. So the technology that we're using today is the same technology that the military-industrial complex uses, right? I mean, they wouldn't develop technology and have the American people pay for it and then withhold technology from us, would they? That wouldn't be a very good movie, would it? Have we seen the movie before? The military-industrial complex has even reached into our schools. You say, well, Leanna Grace, how's the military-industrial complex reach into our schools? Well, who gave them the computers? Computers come from. Did the children, each individual student, buy a computer? No, they were, maybe so, but in the classroom, they're provided. Who provides them? And in the classrooms, we have textbooks. Who provides them? Who writes them? Who publishes them? And it wasn't very long ago, the Governor DeSantis was going through in Florida. Governor DeSantis in Florida was going through, and he's like, nope, that's not going to be in a textbook. Nope, that's not going to be in a Florida textbook. That doesn't belong in a Florida textbook either. And he's going through, and he's seeing all this sexual innuendo towards your children, our children, the children. And he's going through, and he's seeing all this racist stuff to try to make our children believe that one race is bigger and better or worse than the other. When all of us, we're just all the human race, we got colors. We're like Skittles. But we're all one race. And this whole thing, you know, of different races, there may be different ethnicities and nationalities, but we're all one race, the human race. That's it. The color of the skin is only to describe the person's physical features, because white people look different than people who aren't white people. And some of us just pale pink cracker looking things, and others have golden, gorgeous, dark skin, all that. I mean, there's so many shades. So it's all the same race. God made us all the human race. And we started figuring that out in the 70s. That's what we knew. It took a while for it to catch on. There was racism all the way through, and there's still going to be pockets of racism here, but we're not a racist nation. The law does not allow it. And the ones who might be suggesting that, oh, well, they're skirting the law, well, they probably don't know anything. They know what they see on the mainstream media, and the mainstream media is not telling you the truth. In Kenosha, Wisconsin, they're taking down one statue of a hero, and they're putting up a George Floyd statue. He's a rapist and a murderer and a thief, and he held his gun at the belly of a pregnant woman to hold her up. That's not someone that I think should be a statue, someone to emulate, someone to tell our children to look up to. Don't care the color of your skin. He was a bad dude, bad man. He did bad things. And it doesn't matter what the color of your skin is. If you do the things that bad man did, then you're a bad man. And statues don't need to be erected unless it's with a cage around it to show what we do to bad people. And we got plenty of white folks that need to be in that same cage too, because we got bad people. It has nothing to do with the color of the skin. So we had the Marshall Plan, and we poured a whole bunch of money in the infrastructures and the building up. We threw a lot of money into Sweden for some reason. We'll have to cover that on another broadcast, but I think it has something to do with it, more than likely. And there's a lot of suns that we're finding out about. A lot of suns. We got Pelosi's son, right, Paul. And they're in cahoots over there in Ukraine as well. And we've got Romney. His son's over there. They're in cahoots over in Ukraine as well, with Hunter Biden, Ukraine as well, all little doing their little thingies. Who else we got? I always forget one. It's kind of like going through the seven dwarfs, right? It's like you always forget one of them. So we got Pelosi, we got Biden, we got Romney, and then there's, oh, yeah, Jim Carrey. What is up with, see, what I didn't know, and the news isn't telling you, in the history books, if they had a choice, they would never let you know. They would never put it in there. Is that John Kerry's actually married into the Iranian, you know, all of those heads of whatever they got over there. Yeah. So he's kind of married into that corruption also. And I think he's got some things going over on Ukraine, but I think it's through a marriage issue. But it's him. So we've got all of these players out here trying to pretend that they are serving the American people and they're serving themselves, the American people. I had to say that. All of these leaders, all of these folks that said a swore to defend the Constitution, we're seeing them fall down. All these people that want to give us laws and tell us what to do and how to hold our head and how to walk across the street and what to put on our face and what to put in our body. We're finding out how sick these people really are. We're going to talk about that, the movie in Ukraine, when we come back, the sacrifice that's going on. What people have sacrificed to save the children. I am your host, Leander Grace. We're going to take a look through this and see if we can't come up with, it's not my favorite artist, but it is one of my favorite songs. And so we are going to go ahead and play a 2-minute clip of it. We'll have more Patriot stuff coming back when we come up, but I didn't, like I said, I stumbled onto the air tonight and I came with what I've got and I wasn't, you know, didn't go, we're here. And let's go ahead and do that. If you guys will be patient with me as I bounce around a little bit. I've been off of this for a little while. So hopefully, there it is. All right, God's watching from a distance.
From a distance, the world looks and the snow-capped mountains white. From a distance, the ocean meets the stream, and the eagle takes to flight.
From a distance, we
Indeed, God is watching us from a distance. I am your host, The Andrew Grayson. I want to welcome you back to the NatStream Network here on Monday night. It's movie night. We're getting back into the swing of things. On Wednesday night will be our flagship program, Holistic Truth. That's where we'll be rocking it heavy on that. It's a two-hour broadcast and have call-ins on the later part of the program. Always willing to have someone call in and add to the broadcast. If you've got some more to add, then all of that. We can open up the phone lines now if you'd like, but I do have a little bit more that I want to put out because, well, what we are in our historical, right, in the historical of where we're at, we're still at war. We're still at war. We're still at war. We still have slavery. And there's a movie playing over in Ukraine. Now, the mainstream media, from what I understand, and I only see bits and pieces of it, is saying that Putin's invading Ukraine, and Putin's going to do this, and nuclear that, and bombing all this, and shoot them up here, and, you know, but what I understand is going on is those slave ships that we talked about from a very late past, only a couple of hundred years, not that, 100 years, not that long ago. Putin's putting it into is another type of slavery from what I understand it. Now, understand, we've got four families over there. We've got Pelosi, we've got Biden, we've got Kerry, we got Romney. All the sons were over there doing what? We've got pictures of what they were doing over there about what. And it seems to me that there is at least some level of involvement. No, he knee-deep eyeballs covered in it. And I believe the arrest is imminent for Mr. Paul Pelosi because there's been pornographic child kitty porn in that one, too. It's all going to come out, people. Some of the folks that you would never think. I know it was for me. I got fooled. Saw some of it I thought was worthy of respect fall by their own choice. So what Putin's doing is going in there and doing what our American, the administration that's in charge now would never order anybody to do, or this you know, this Biden farce doesn't even have the power to do. You know, they want to go in and help Ukraine fight Russia. And my question is, what the hell are we going to go over there and fight Russia for? Why? The media's all, oh, he's going to do this, oh, he's going to do that, Putin's this, Putin's that, he's dying, he's unhinged, he's yada, 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 and it's all noise. They give you no proof of anything except old clippings from 19-whatever. Zelensky's sending out video of things going on that are from a video game. No different than some of the things that happened over in New Zealand. From a video game. People are, oh, wow, look at what he did. No one ever did that except on a video game. Putin's doing it, from what I understand, from all the reports that I've read and from the intel that I've gotten, is Putin's doing exactly what he said he's going to do. He's going in for a special operation to do surgical strikes to take care of all the bio labs and free the people who have been sold into slavery, some of them children. And they have to get there quick because they're sacrificing the children before they can be freed to cover their tracks. It's a war, but it's not the kind you think. From what I understand, from all the evidence that I've been able to gather, from the things, the reports that I've seen, Putin is going in there with surgical strikes, and it's Zelensky and his clown show, and all the little Nazis that we're finding out that's there. Oh, yeah, there's some Nazi stuff still going on. Remember, we talked about the Borg. Nazi stuff going on. Bad stuff. So one of the Ukrainian soldiers are being captured and put into Russian prisoner of war status. They're getting three meals a day. They're getting medical treatment. They're getting Geneva Convention rules treatment. Geneva Convention. That's how to treat a prisoner of war. Not even our January 6th prisoners are getting that kind of good treatment. So Putin's treating the Ukrainian prisoners of war better than we're treating the January 6th prisoners. than the idiots down at the D.C. jail. And they're idiots. And the reason I say they're idiots is because if they're stupid enough to follow this train of thought and enforce these illegal mandates that they're being told of how, what to do and how to do, then they're wrong. They need to go to prison. They need to be arrested and go to jail because they know better. Following orders is not the thing, the Borg. Following orders is not the deal. Treating humans humanely is the deal. Now, when the Ukrainians are capturing Russian soldiers, from what I understand, is they're castrating them. They're not helping them. Some of them are just shooting them. Some are just killing them. Prisoners. And it's against the Geneva Convention. Once you have a prisoner, you stop shooting. Prisoner makes an attempt. But you got to be ethical. That's the way that is. So we're not getting the news, people. What's coming out on ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, the Clown Network News, Fox, if they're telling you that Putin's going to start a war, they're not telling you the truth. Whether they're being handed the lies or whether they're fabricating them themselves, I don't have insight into that. But it's not the truth. And that nobody is getting arrested, that's not the truth either. But the news isn't being broadcast. They're not giving it. And I say, well, Leander Grace, if all of this is happening, if everything that I'm saying, right, if everything you're saying, Leander Grace, is true, why are they not putting it on the news? Because those who are giving you the news are very seldom not involved. They're covering it up. And they're either complicit because they've covered up the truth for money or just because they're complicit for favors. Telling you the truth, they are allowing the torture and the sexual abuse and the sale of minor children to continue by continuing to be silent, by not reporting it. And everybody has a right. I mean, I think it should be that all of these arrests should be made known on the cable corporate media, but they won't. Why? Who has a gun to the corporate media head that not even the news reporters can say? Somebody's got them by the whatever it is you get them by to make them not talk. We'll be talking a little bit more about that. We'll talk a lot about that on Wednesday. And I'll be a little more prepared with some stunning sound bites and some stunning things. And speaking of stunning sound bites, you know, we heard from President Eisenhower. Now, remember, we're going through history and we're talking about our sacrifices. We're talking about us. We're kind of just juicing up the wheels here, getting the gears oiled up so we can move a little bit more smoothly through this. And I'm doing this as much as for me as for the audience as well, so we have a picky-up place. And so we're more than happy to take you on a little journey. Now, we were warned again by another president in history about some things that were going on. And then we used even naming names, right? It's even naming names. And that is none other than John F. Kennedy, President 35. Now, he was warning about secret societies, secret oaths. And the danger of that comes when the oath, now this is me speaking, this is not him, I'm not quoting JFK and John F. Kennedy at any time, but I'm saying this, is that when your oaths become your oath to a fraternity or an order becomes so important that you will break the law and commit treason against your own countrymen, there's something wrong. There's something wrong with the person who would make an oath against their own nation if that fraternity or that order or those folks are acting against it. But it goes a little broader than that. Let's hear what he had to say. Let's hear what he had to, there we go, say.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed. No president should fear public scrutiny of his program, for from that scrutiny comes understanding, and from that understanding comes support or opposition, and both are necessary. I am not asking your newspapers to support an administration, but I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people. For I have complete confidence in the response and dedication of our citizens whenever they are fully informed. I not only could not stifle controversy among your readers, I welcome it. This administration intends to be candid about its errors. For as a wise man once said, an error doesn't become a mistake until you refuse to correct it. We intend to accept full responsibility for our errors, and we expect you to point them out when we miss them. Without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed, and no republic can survive. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. And that is why our press was protected by the First Amendment, the only business in America specifically protected by the Constitution, not primarily to amuse and entertain, not to emphasize the trivial and the sentimental, not to simply give the public what it wants, but to inform, to arouse, to reflect, to state our dangers and our opportunities, to indicate our crises and our choices, to lead, mold, educate, and sometimes even anger public opinion. This means greater coverage and analysis of international news, for it is no longer far away and foreign, but close at hand and local. It means greater attention to improved understanding of the news, as well as improved transmission. And it means, finally, that government at all levels must meet its obligation to provide you with the fullest possible information outside the narrowest limits of national security. And so it is to the printing press, to the recorder of man's deeds, the keeper of his conscience, the courier of his news, that we look for strength and assistance, confident that with your help, Man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
Free and independent, indeed. Now, we just heard Eisenhower talking about security and liberty, and then we have this very contemporary, it's relevant today. It's like an immortal speech from John F. Kennedy, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, 35th President of the United States, President Kennedy, that everyone saw gunned down in front of them in Dallas. Because he was going to reveal the secrets. And I take what he says very seriously. He says, so to the printing press. He turns to the printing press for us to get the news out to the media, to the real citizen journalists that are out there that are revealing the truth and covering the stuff that's out there. Now, we have a caller on the line, got their hand up too. My goodness. We'll go ahead and bring you on. Give me just a second or two to finish this thought. Free and independent. That we can't be free and independent if we're ignorant. And that's the job of the media. Let me go ahead and bring this person on. When I do bring you on live, let me know. I'll tell you, your microphone's going to be live right away. Just give me your first name and where you're calling from. And I hope you're live. Give me a minute, the button. Here we are. And you are live, 856 prefix. Go ahead, first name, where are you calling from?
Rosemary from New Jersey.
Hello, Rosemary from New Jersey. What you bring to the program tonight?
I was curious about the living and love and forgiveness. I've been doing all that, and still I get slammed, if that makes sense, with other people around me. I guess about jealousy and all that stuff, and I do mind my own business, like at work especially. I just started back up again. Just a little chaos and jealousy and stuff. And I can't, I can deal with it. It's just getting too much.
Right. I get you.
If that makes sense.
Okay, well, let me ask you this first question. Do you love the Lord?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good. You don't have to give me all your guts with it. I'm going to believe you, okay, because it didn't seem connected to anything anyway. All right, well, this is what I want to say. First of all, first things first is to pray about it in the morning and in the evening, twice a day. And that's what I'm going to say right out front. The second thing is there is right now going on, you are not alone in this. I'm hearing this story from a lot of different people. You get your steam going, right? You get on your path and you think you're going in the right direction, and then somebody goes boom and just knocks you off. Is that right? Am I saying that right?
Right.
Yeah, okay. So when that happens, what's the first thought that you have, if you don't mind sharing it on the air, Rosemary? What's the first thought?
The jerks, jackasses.
Yeah. Okay, so can I give you another thought? Now, I learned this trick from someone, a professional that I've been working with in the area here. Let me give you another trick to pick a second thought. When you hear that thought coming in, because that's going to drag you down and you'll start justifying your cussing. I do. I'm raising my hand. If I'm saying it, it's because I can own it myself. All right. So what I find helpful is to take that minute and breathe and say, oh, God, what am I supposed to be learning? I learned that from somebody else also. What am I supposed to be learning? If anything makes me, that doesn't mean that they're right. All right. But understand that if a difficult situation's coming your way and it happens again and again, and you almost get your stuff, what is it that's really holding you back? Is it fear? Or is it an environment that is set up that you may have to let go of?
Toxic.
Yeah, toxic. Well, it is. I know. It's hard to let go. And I don't know what your situation is, and I don't necessarily need to. I can kind of see it energetically, how it pulls. Here's the thing. Have you heard of Cat Williams before?
No, I haven't.
Cat Williams, he's a comedian. Is it Cat Williams? Yeah. And he's very raw. He's got a lot of curse words. He uses all of them, all right? But he has this thing where he talks about haters, you know, and people that are hatred, show hatred toward us, are usually people that see us doing something they don't believe in a million years they could ever do, and they're just going to stop you before you take off without them. And I believe that to be true. Am I hitting it?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the decision, the difficult decisions that we have to make when we look around and see things as they are, the first question I have to ask myself is, what am I still getting out of it? And am I really getting it out of it, or am I being fooled? You know, so because there's this time when we start trading love and acceptance for entrainment, and we start becoming like them to be accepted, and we lose sight of ourselves. And so, and that happens a lot of times when we have to exist within a toxic environment. Pray for the situation. Pray for the people that are hurting you. There's a lot of power in that. There's a lot of power in that. I know it seems like it's a loser field, but when you're praying for that person, God will start dealing with that person. Sometimes gently, sometimes not so gentle. And then you get to smile. but being patient, because if this picture's coming up, it's showing you something, either to change you or change environments, or perhaps just to stand up and argue back. I don't know the answers. I'm given options. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad that you called in. Do you have anything to add here to the conversation about the stuff on the world stage? Is it disturbing to you? Have you been listening?
Kind of, sort of, off and on. The news and stuff, mm-hmm. It's a little crazy. I'm just over it, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that does. A lot of people are just getting over it. But this is what I want to tell you. Keep watching. Keep praying. Keep praying for all the things that are going on that are good that you may not know about. And then just keep watching. Because there's a lot of things that are going on that the media is not telling you that we're going to start revealing. Is that all right? I mean, do you understand that? Is that cool? All right.
Yes.
So I'm going to ask you to keep tuning back. And the best time to give me a call, Mondays are good, too, if you want to join in on the topic of the conversation. But for conversations like this, might be best served for a Wednesday. Yeah, because we're going to have all kinds of phone lines open. You bet. You have a good night.
Thanks, you too.
All right. And that was Rosemary from New Jersey. I'm glad that you called and joined in on the conversation. Appreciate that. If you want to hit that number one again, that hand will come down. I believe that's what needs to happen, or I get confused because some folks say yes and some folks no. All right, so guys, that's a familiar. She brought something to the air that we need to talk about. That is a familiar story that's going on. People becoming frustrated, the media saying one thing, we're believing something else, and all of a sudden the media comes up with a different story. And it's a frustration level. Talk about us on a different progress. It's a fever pitch frustration level that people are reaching. We've got low formula. How are we going to feed the babies? How are we going to get the diesel in the trucks to get our goods and services going? Are we ready if something has to stop? What if it gets worse? And it might. What if we have to actually start planning for a shutdown? What if things are going to go that way? I don't know. But I do know this, and I want to get this in before we have to get offline. I know that we're Americans. I know that we're Americans. And I know that we've got what it takes to see this through, whether it's through patience, whether it's just through grit, whether it's through perseverance, whether it's through on our knees and calling out for grace, calling out for strength to God. Because as these truths come out to the fore, there's going to be more and more people that are going to have their reality absolutely shattered. And those of us who know how, and those of us who are willing to, and those of us who have the tools need to be available to be a listening board, to be a director, to be a helper empathically and compassionately as this waking up goes forward. Because it's going to demand of all of us. It's been demanding of us for a decade. That's how long I've been on here talking about the Great Awakening. And when we're talking about that, specifically we're talking about a degree of cognitive dissonance. Cognitive dissonance. What is that? That means when two opposing views come in and you know they're both right, but you got to give one of them up, and they slam into each other and ruin your day if you let it. because it's a puzzle. I used to think this, and now that's not right. What if everything that we thought we knew was wrong? Are we ready for that? What are we prepared for as we look at the world stage? Something else that causes cognitive dissonance to those who have not yet woke up and still think that government handouts and the chain of a government handout slavery is the way to go. You know, it's almost like bowing your head to the government, to the state, for them to provide all the needs, knowing that if you try to get up, it will hurt. And that's the way the system is designed. But I want to hear from one or two more presidents. I know we're doing a lot of audio on this, but I tell you what, I want to go ahead and do this nonetheless. Now, we've had a whole slew of presidents. We talked about the Nazis. We talked about the Borg escape, right? What if the Nazis escaped? Well, we know Operation Paperclip allowed for that. We know it did. And in the end, not paying attention, what did it get us? It got us a president in the office. And I'm not talking about the charade that's going on now. I'm talking about the president before President Trump. You know, got on the stage, and he, with his policies, we'll talk about more of this on Wednesday, with this TPP and all the rest that we were arguing with him about from the very beginning. He gets up there and says, it's done, right? Well, this is a little clip that I've had for a couple of years. I'm going to have to find the video for it. This is an audio stripped from a video. And this is actually what the Kenyan said.
And for the international order that we have worked for generations to build. Ordinary men and women are too small-minded to govern their own affairs. That order and progress can only come when individuals surrender their rights to an all-powerful sovereign.
Isn't that something? He thinks we're going to sit there and give our rights to an all-powerful sovereign. Well, what's going? We got the UN knocking on the door. The UN. The UN. So what happened with the Borg? What happened with the rest? We're going to have to pick that up on Wednesday night on Holistic Truth. We might even come back tomorrow night to pick it up. Not sure what the plan or the schedule God has for me. I'm just going to have to take it day by day to see how it comes. I want to thank you for being with the broadcast tonight. As we go forward, this is the first of the series that's come out. It's been a year since I've been on this particular platform, and I'm glad to be back. We'll be back either tomorrow or Wednesday. Just look for the schedule. When we settle it in, I'll be letting you guys know. It'll all be on this page right here. I am your host, Leander Grace, broadcasting live from the high mountain desert. And as we sign off tonight, I'm reminding you to, as always, to watch for those signposts, connect the dots, find your path, live in love, and do something good as we learn to forgive. We got my little bitty whatchacallit going there. And until next week, guys, I'm just going to say goodnight. I'm looking for a little outro music. It may or may not occur. We'll see. And there you go. If you're still in the listening room, you'll be able to hear it, but the people on the other side won't. But we'll see you next time we're live. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Well, that was the wrong one. Anyway, we'll go ahead and take care of it at the end of it. I'll put a clip or something like that. I want to thank you guys for listening in, whether you're listening live or podcast. Pod people, we love you too. And until next time, good night.